Well, it is a blessing to be together tonight and hear many different stories. And we're going to look in the scriptures as we do this evening of some pictures that the Bible gives us. The Bible has a lot of pictures or symbols that illustrate for us some very important biblical truths. We're used to symbols. Maybe if you're looking for a Tim Hortons, you're driving, maybe an unfamiliar area, and then all you do, you get a glimpse and you're like, okay, I know that. That's a familiar symbol. I know that. That's the place where I'm wanting to go, or a certain brand name or a sports logo. Well, the Bible gives us certain pictures and symbols that illustrate very important truths for us. And so we want to look, first of all, at some symbols of the church. As we think about church membership, what is this all about? Well, the Bible has a lot to say about the church. It's His idea. It's not some organization that people came up with. This is God's idea, an institution of believers that gather together for a purpose. A few months back, we were doing a study as a church on a Sunday evening on the church, and we saw 9 different pictures of the church. Well, we're not going to look at all 9 of those, but I'd like to remind you of 2 of those pictures this evening. One of the pictures is a family. The church is a family. And we have God the Father, our Creator. Are we the children of God? Well, in one sense, we all have our source in God as the Creator. He is the one that has made each of us in His image. But John tells us in John chapter 1 that it's only through believing in Jesus that we're given the right to become children of God. And so we're actually born into this world estranged from God, enemies of God, and rebels against God, but we can become His children through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so then God becomes our Father. Jesus, the Bible talks about Him being the firstborn of many brethren. Not that Jesus ever had a beginning, but that He is the, in a sense, older brother of all who believe in Him, who become children of God, part of His family. And so in a family, you have family members. And we're parts of a family. You may be a mother, father, a brother, sister, members of a family. And each member of a family has responsibilities, has things that they do. We have a chore chart on our refrigerator, and that gives what chores each member of the family has for that week. And then we rotate them around. And so we, as members of God's family, have responsibilities. And so through faith in Jesus Christ, we become members of God's family. God becomes our Father, Jesus our elder brother, in a sense, and that makes us brothers and sisters with other believers. And what a wonderful thought. And that's why sometimes we even refer to each other as my brother or my sister, because that is actually a deeper bond than being born in a physical family, a blood relation, because this is a relationship that will last for all eternity. So that's a very important picture of the church, the family of God. Well, let me give you another one. In fact, we can turn our Bibles, if you have one, just for briefly to Romans chapter 12. And we'll just look at verses 4 and 5 of Romans 12. He says, "For as we have many members in one body," there's the picture, one body, "but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." This is a picture of a body, like a human body. And that human body has many parts, right? As we think about the different parts of our body, our hands, our feet, our heads, our eyes and ears and mouth and all the different parts. And then, of course, there's the parts that we don't see that aren't as important, like the heart and lungs and brain. We realize there's hundreds of parts, maybe probably, I'm sure, thousands, that all are working together in a unified whole of one body. That's a picture that we have in Scripture of the church. The church is not only a family, but it is a body. Different body parts, different members that work together. Some are more visible than others. Every member has a different function, but all are important for the good of the whole. And so, as we think about church membership, that probably isn't even really the best word, because we think of membership to a club. You think, well, I got a Costco card. I'm a member. I guess when I join the church, do I get a card for that? What are the privileges? Do I get to shop here? Do I get discounts? What are the benefits of being a member? Well, that's not really, when the Bible talks about member, it's talking about what we just said, a member of the family and a member of a body. So when you are becoming the part of the church, you are a functioning member of that family and body. Now, that is true. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you become part of the family of God. You become part of the church. But the church is not just something that is theoretical. It is also something that is practical, that is experiential. And so, although there is the church composing of all believers around the world, the Bible gives many commands, sometimes with the phrase one another, I think almost 40 times in the New Testament, to love one another and care for one another and teach and admonish one another. And you could go on and on. Well, you can't do that to every believer in the world. So there are local churches. And if you look at your New Testament, it is written to local churches, like we just read from Romans, the church in Rome and the church in Corinth and Ephesus. And so Meadowlands is a local church, a local expression of the universal church, where the family of God actually participates with real people in a real location, worshiping and fellowshipping and reaching a community together. And so, as we think of church membership, and as these five people are committing to be a part of this local assembly of believers, that's simply what they are doing. They're committing to fulfill those obligations within the family of God, within the body of Christ, within this local body of believers. And so the Lord may move them to a different city at some point. Well, then they will need to join together with another group. Many of you, a part of Meadowlands, at one point lived somewhere else and were with another group of believers, but are now committed and expressing those important responsibilities in this family and in this body. And so that is just maybe a little glimpse of what it means to be part of the church. So these five people they're already believing in Jesus Christ, and they have already been baptized, either here or in some other local church. And so you don't have to be baptized again if you were scripturally baptized. But we as a family want to just affirm them. And so we have them just share their testimony, because it's on that profession of faith, their belief in Christ, that they are joining together with those others in this local assembly that affirm those same truths. So these folks are going to share maybe a shorter version of their testimony. I've been able to meet with them and discuss many things. They each have been baptized. And if you'd like to hear the longer version, which would be great, someday when we're able to have people over or meet for coffee, then I encourage you to do that, and you can hear a little bit more and as well as share how you came to Christ as well. So we're going to begin with Nick and Laura Treader. They're right conveniently placed right up here. So we'll have them share their testimony, and then we'll continue on.
Good evening. My name is Nick Treader. I was born and raised in a Christian home, so I was always exposed to the Bible and Christianity. I accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior at our church summer camp when I was about 10 or 11. But thinking back, it was more to get out of going to hell than following Christ. As I continued to grow older, I chose to be baptized when I was 13 to follow in the example of Christ. But it wasn't until my young adult years that I can say my faith became quite a bit deeper and my own choice. Through regular Bible study with our young adult group at church, I realized that there was no other path I wanted to walk other than the one that leads to life. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." It was also at young adults that I met my wife, Laura, of almost 17 years. We have been blessed with five wonderful children, William, Clara, Joseph, Jonathan, and Heidi. As the children grew and our old church was making some new changes in their focus, we were convicted to make a decision to stay there or seek out a different church to continue building into the lives of our children. This process took about 2.5 years and it was a difficult decision. We were familiar with Meadowlands through my parents who have attended here in the past, and we thought that would be a decent place to start our search. As it turns out, we didn't try anywhere else. We've been attending Meadowlands for about 2.5 years now. We are extremely grateful for the leadership of this church and the body of believers that make up Meadowlands, and find it a wonderful place to attend a church where the pastors and the congregation are committed to preaching literally from the Bible and stand for six-day creation. That is becoming rare these days. We look forward to joining Meadowlands as members and serving alongside each of you as the gospel is preached in Edmonton.
I meant to ask you this morning how many minutes I had. I don't know if this is the short version or not, but this is the version you're getting tonight. My name's Laura, and here's my testimony. There are moments in our world when we witness a sudden and dramatic change to the landscape, when a volcano erupts and the mountainside, trees, and lakes are drastically altered, when a hurricane with violent winds and rain sweeps through the lands. Conversely, there are times when from one moment to the next, there are no perceivable changes to a landform. Yet as the waters of a river constantly flow over rocks and cliffs, if we watch and wait patiently, noticeable changes will be evident. In the life of a Christ follower, some people will experience a sudden and dramatic change when they finally turn from harmful sin habits and yield their lives to Christ. Others, though they also reject their ways of sin and embrace a loving Savior, may only perceive Christ's transforming work in their lives as they gaze back over a larger period of time. I belong to the latter group. I was blessed to be born into a family where my mother and father were united in their Christian values. They took me to church regularly and modeled faithful service there. At home, I remember my mom. Can't look at my mom because I'm going to cry. At home, I remember my mom reading to me daily from the children's Bible. During one of these occasions, when I was about 5, I acknowledged my sinfulness and that I was destined for hell because of it. You may think, how sinful can a sweet 5-year-old really be? But just as a little lion cub pouncing on a beetle appears cute and harmless, yet over time grows into a threatening killer, so a young child's selfish and deceitful heart can and will grow into a dangerous beast unless Christ miraculously intervenes. James 1:15 says, Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. My school years were characterized by steady Christian growth. Attending Millwoods Christian School, I was nurtured by godly teachers and accompanied by dear friends as I learned to study God's word faithfully and pray regularly. Scripture memory was encouraged from the very first grade and is something that I still cling to today. In grade 10, I made the important decision to be baptized, and I'm overjoyed to see my oldest daughter making that same decision tonight. Some of my toughest years came at graduation, as I was unsure of what direction God was leading me in this new chapter of my life. I bought into the nasty lie that whatever God had planned for me, it would be something I strongly disliked. Because of this false belief, I tried to distance myself from God in order to somehow protect myself from this unknown and unappealing future. Without God's close presence to comfort and to guide me, I attempted to fill my life with other things, which only led to feelings of guilt and loneliness. I came to closely identify with Paul when he declared in Romans 7:19, "For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." I quickly learned that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, Romans 6:16. Though I pleaded with God to free me from this cruel master called sin, it didn't seem like anything was happening. But God's life-changing river was still steadily flowing in my life, tranquil and undetected. Perhaps there was a part of me that persisted in clinging to the strange comforts of sinful habits, destructive as they were. No one could describe it better than C.S. Lewis in The Great Divorce. In this book, a character was holding tightly to his sin, personified as a lizard, yet still seeking a place in heaven. The angel who met him there explained that he would first need to kill the lizard before the man would be able to live in heaven. The man vehemently resisted, uttering ridiculous excuses and procrastinations, to which the angel responded, "I cannot kill it against your will. It is impossible." Though unseen, God was bringing me to a place where I would declare, like the man in The Great Divorce, it would be better to be dead than to live with this creature, this sin. During this time, God threw me several lifelines to help me return to him. Some friends from church encouraged me to volunteer at camp, and I reluctantly agreed to try it for 2 weeks. Much to my surprise, I thrived in the camp environment, where we prayed daily for one another and devoted ourselves to studying the Bible and teaching it to our campers. I remember leading devotions for elementary-age children from the book of Leviticus, and not one of them was bored or distracted. God was instilling in me a love for his word, which is overflowing to others as well. Leviticus showed how burdensome and ineffective the animal sacrifices were at removing the people's sin. Hebrews 9:9-11-12 says, "For the gifts and sacrifices that the priests offer are not able to cleanse the consciences of the people who bring them. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. Once for all time, he took blood into that most holy place, but not the blood of goats and calves. He took his own blood, and with it he secured our salvation forever." Secondly, God convicted me of the importance of scripture memory to guide me back to him. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." With his help, I committed the next year of my life to daily scripture memory. God faithfully used his word to set my feet on solid ground once more. Psalm 40:2. Almost 20 years later, I'm so thankful that God is continuing this legacy of scripture memory in my children. In 2003, God also gave me a third lifeline, as he graciously brought a very special young man into my life. Though I did my best to convince him that I was content being single, Nick was not easily dissuaded. Together, we encouraged each other to pursue those things which are true, honorable, and right. Philippians 4:8. We were married the next year, and I am so thankful to call him my husband and best friend. God has abundantly blessed us with 5 delightful children, William, Clara, Joseph, Jonathan, and Heidi. Shortly after our youngest child, Heidi, was born, God brought us to Meadowlands. We were searching for a church that stood firmly on the authority of God's word, right from the very first verse. Homeschooling our children, we desired to teach them from a biblical worldview and wanted to be sure that our church would also uphold this view. Gratefully, we have found Meadowlands to be that place. We are so thankful for the faithful preaching of Pastor Kevin and Pastor Mark, and for many others who faithfully serve here. I'm also very grateful for the Women's Bible Study, where I'm encouraged and affirmed in my role as a mother. The past year has been challenging and unpredictable for all of us. The church especially has been met with unique difficulties, navigating ever-changing restrictions. What a blessing to have a loving church family to walk with through this time. And we commend our church leadership for their faithful and godly leadership throughout.
So we do a formal vote, so we'll just have, after each member shares their testimony, we'll just have everyone close your eyes, so we'll do that now. And then if you're a member in favor of the Treaders joining, would you just lift your hand, and you can put it down. Those opposed, lift your hand. All right, you can look up. So it's great to have the Treaders join with us, and we welcome you into our church family, as you've already been a part, but make sure, if you have not met them, that after the service you introduce yourself to them. Next, we have Mark and Jennifer Hostasek. So Mark and Jennifer, would you come and share with us what God has done in your life?
Well, that's a tough one to go after. Good job. Hi, everyone. I'm Mark Hostasek, and this is my wife, Jennifer, and I'll get right into it. So before being saved, I always felt an emptiness in my heart. No matter what I tried or did, I could find nothing that would fill the void for more than a fleeting moment. I've always prayed to God, but have never truly had a faith to follow, nor a mentor to show me a path to the cross. So I prayed to God for forgiveness, for living a life apart from Him, and to humble my heart and calm my mind so I may receive the word once it presented itself in my life. I also prayed to Him to bring the right people into my life to show me the path back to Him. And in His perfectly undeniable and inexplicable ways, He answered. First, with my darling wife, Jennifer, who showed me that love was real, honest, and true. The second blessing He bestowed upon me is Freya Crane. She, from the moment we met, had been a true inspiration to both Jennifer and I for speaking so openly and lovingly about Jesus. The third blessing was Harry Bueller, a man devoted to God with an unwavering belief in Jesus and what He has done for us. Harry and Freya took it upon themselves to save us by praying for us, by planting biblical seeds within us and watering them every chance they got through Bible study, patience, guidance, and direction. Ooh, I'm nervous. On December 31st, 2018, Jennifer and I were having coffee and many laughs with Harry when his mood suddenly turned serious. Not serious in a fire and brimstone kind of serious, but with a true love for Christ. He explained that the only way to heaven is through Jesus, Christ Jesus, and that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. He then asked us if we would accept Jesus into our lives, and in that moment I knew my prayers had been answered. Since that fateful day, Jennifer and I have both changed our hearts to keep Jesus at the center of our lives. We completed Pastor Kevin's premarital boot camp in July of 2019. That was a tough course, but it was absolutely worth it. It's been almost 2 years since boot camp, and we still hold fast to the values we learned there. Thank you, Pastor Kevin. You have solidified and enhanced our relationship in ways I never imagined possible. On August 18th, 2019, we were baptized here, and on September 1st, 2019, we were married here at Meadowlands. We now attend church services regularly, pray together and read scripture together, and grow as a Christian couple. We feel so blessed to have found such a wonderful church and church family to join within the Meadowlands community. So to wrap up my testimony, I understand now that God sometimes leads us into troubled waters, not to drown us, but to cleanse our hearts. I have stepped out of the darkness in faith, confident that God will place solid ground beneath my feet so I can truly grow as a Christian in the faith.
All right. Okay. Before coming to Christ, I always felt something was missing in my life.
Oh, you got this. We're pretty excited.
Okay. It seemed
I was always searching. Okay, it seemed I was always searching and trying to fill the void with self-help books and personal development courses, which were always a short-term fix. But my heart still longed for something. When I moved to Edmonton in 2012, I met a dear sweet lady by the name of Freya Crane, who lived in the same building as myself, and we became fast friends. She would always tell me she was praying for me and would give me sweet birthday and Christmas cards with handwritten scripture in them. But at that time, they really didn't make much sense to me, but I still appreciated them. When I met my husband, Mark, there was something in me that really wanted him to meet Freya. And once he did, there was also a friend of Freya's by the name of Harry Bueller that I felt Mark and I should meet and get to know. We all became good friends and visited them often. Then on December 31st, 2018, my life completely changed, and I came to Christ alongside my wonderful, amazing husband, Mark. At that time, we were dating, and Harry Bueller had invited us over for coffee and a visit, and he spoke of the Bible and Jesus, and then asked us what was stopping us from accepting Jesus as our Savior, and we both replied, nothing. So then Harry had asked us both if we would accept Jesus as our Savior. And immediately, we both said yes. It was not until I was saved that I realized Freya was planting seeds all along, just as Harry was to Mark. From that point on, we began a weekly Bible study with Harry and Freya, as well as started attending Meadowlands with Harry. And instantly, we felt blessed that we found our church family. My heart is full, and I no longer need to search for that missing piece. Accepting Christ as my Savior has changed my life in every way. And I am now in a relationship with God. I have a deep sense of fulfillment in my life and will keep Jesus at the center, even when times are tough. Sorry. I no longer live for myself, but for His purpose and glory. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I am grateful that God sent His only Son to die on the cross for my sins.
Thank you. We made it.
Yeah. Kind of like a marathon, isn't it? So, made it through. So, that's a blessing. So, we'll do the same thing again. I'll just have everyone close your eyes. Those members in favor of Mark and Jennifer, join together with the Meadowlands Church family. If you lift your hand, you can put it down. Any opposed? All right, you can look up. And we're glad to have Mark and Jennifer in our church family and continuing to grow and learn. I guess I could take my mask off here since I'm away from everybody. Finally, we have Violet Rutan. And so, Violet, would you come? She asked me if I would read her testimony for her, and it's not a requirement to speak publicly to be a part of a church or to get baptized either, and so I'm honored to do that. This is Violet, so I am just reading what she wrote, and so honored to do that. So she says, many, many years ago, when I was in primary school, my teacher invited the class to a game activity at a nearby Methodist church. I attended with a few of my classmates. The teacher introduced the story of Lord Jesus Christ into the activity. Sometime later, I started receiving a correspondence course about Christianity and salvation. The course was straightforward and very easy to understand the gospel of salvation. I learned from John 3:16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Through the influence of that correspondence course and the teachings of the church, I accepted Christ. When my dad found out, he made me stop attending the church, telling me he would disown me. My teacher advised me to obey God by listening to my parents. Later, my dad said I could follow my own God or religion when I became an adult, and that's what I did. One day, one of my bank colleagues invited me to her Baptist church. The rest is history. I started regularly attending the Singapore Bible Baptist Church, was baptized into membership, and served the Lord there for many years. I met my husband, Marlo, in Singapore, and we got married. After the birth of our daughter, Natasha, we moved to Canada. Marlo accepted the Lord as his Savior at Singapore Bible Baptist Church. While living in Lethbridge and Red Deer, we attended a few Baptist churches. Life as a Christian believer has had its ups and downs, but the Lord is always good, merciful, and patient with me and my family. Because he loves us, he fine-tunes us whenever we get out of tune. My beloved husband, Marlo, was called home to the Lord in July of 2019. I moved to Edmonton to be closer to my daughter. My friend, Mary Jane, invited me to Meadowlands Baptist Church in October of 2019. The teachings are very similar to my previous church in Singapore. I'm still learning from the church services and Sunday school classes, and everyone has been so nice and friendly. As I prayed about this, I feel the Lord wants me to join this church family. Thank you, Violet. You can go back to your seat, and we'll have each person close your eyes again. Those in favor of Violet, join together with our Meadowlands family. Lift your hand. You can put them down. Anyone opposed? Okay, you can look up. And Violet, it's great to have you with us as well. And so what fine people. Our church is just improving, isn't it? Isn't it great to have these folks? And it's really like a birthday party where you get a bunch of gifts. Well, these are gifts that God has given to our church. And so so happy birthday or whatever. And congratulations to really to all of us and responsibility to one another. And so this is such a blessing. Well, we will now turn our attention to another picture that the New Testament gives, and that is one of baptism. And certainly a lot of ideas in our world about what baptism is, but baptism is a picture. And actually, it's a symbol of something that has already taken place in the life of the believer. And so the Bible gives us a few different pictures to kind of help us understand this symbol of baptism. The most obvious is that of cleansing. When you get all dirty, when you've been maybe working hard and maybe in a garden or you've been sweating, playing sports, it's important what? To take a shower, take a bath, to cleanse all that dirt and grime off. And so so we have that as a regular part of our routines, bathing, cleansing. Of course, we've had a lot of emphasis about washing our hands regularly. And I think I've washed my hands more than I used to. And so that we understand this idea. Well, that is what baptism is. It's a picture of spiritual cleansing. The Bible says in Titus 3, 5, and 6, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible tells us that all have sinned. Romans 3, 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God is perfect. He is sinless. Heaven is perfect. And so for any of us to go to heaven with our sin would make heaven unheavenly. And we are unworthy to approach a holy God in our present condition as sinners. Romans 3:23 says that there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, you can compare yourself with other people and say, you know, I'm pretty good compared to my neighbor, or compared to my coworker, or compared to, you know, somebody I saw, you know, that committed crimes on the news. But the truth is, the standard is not someone else. The standard is God and His holy righteousness. And so we all fall short. And not only do we fall short of being with God in heaven, but that there is punishment for sin. God is a just judge, and His holy wrath is deserving of all who reject Him, all who are living in sin. And so, therefore, we need cleansing. And so, as I just read, it's not by works that we do, but it's God's mercy. He saves us. He cleanses us. And so when these two folks get baptized in just a couple minutes, they are simply participating in a picture that their sins have already been cleansed. They've been cleansed because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because they're trusting in Jesus who died on the cross for their sins and who cleanses them from all unrighteousness. So the baptism isn't cleansing them. They're just going to be in water. But the picture is illustrative of what God has already done in their hearts because they're trusting Christ. So that's one picture of baptism, is cleansing. Another picture is that of union. The word baptize is really a Greek word. If it were just going to be translated into English, it'd be translated to dip or to plunge under. It was actually the Greek word that was even translated to dye something a color, because you would take maybe a cloth and you would plunge it into the dye and it would then take on that color. So that's the idea, plunging, dipping. And the picture is that of a union, that when you're plunged into something, like you take a sponge and you put it in water, is the water in the sponge or is the sponge in the water? Well, they're united. They're together. And we are baptized into Christ. We are united with Him. Through faith in Him, there's a union with Christ. And all the blessings of Christ are then credited to us. His perfect righteousness that God demands are credited to us because we're united with Jesus. And I'm going to read a passage of Scripture that brings this picture and another one into view. It's found back in Romans, actually, again. But this is Romans chapter 6. I'm just going to read verses 3 through 6. Paul says, "Do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death?" Now, he's not talking about water baptism. He's talking about through faith in Christ, we're baptized into Christ. We're united, plunged into Christ. "Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So Jesus died, and with Him united, our sins are buried, and we died with Him as Jesus was resurrected, so we are resurrected into a new life. And you heard that in some of the testimonies, saying, "My life is different. There's a new life." Let me continue to read. Verse 5, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." And so this union with Christ, this baptism, is actually a spiritual reality. Water baptism is simply just a symbol to picture that spirituality of being united with Christ. And really a third picture, actually there are more than three, but we'll conclude with this third one that we actually saw in this text we read again, is that this water baptism is also identifying with Jesus Christ. You know, some people can have private commitments, private convictions. But baptism is a public identification saying, "I'm following Christ." Jesus was baptized, not because He needed any cleansing, but as a symbol that we can follow Him because we do need that cleansing. And so as we are baptized, we are committing, saying, I'm with Christ. I'm following him. I'm identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. But on the third day in the tomb, he rose again. He conquered sin and death. And all who are trusting in him will also conquer sin and death. And so in Christ, in identifying him with him, we are identifying the work that he did and saying that we completely are trusting in his death and resurrection for salvation. Not by our works, not by anything that we do, but simply by clinging to what Jesus has done for us. And so that is the picture that you are about to see in baptism. A cleansing of sin, a union with Christ, an identification with Jesus and the work that he did to bring us salvation. And you may be here this evening or watching on live stream and would say, you know, that's not me. I haven't trusted in Christ. So these testimonies that we've heard, that doesn't describe me. Well, my friend, that didn't describe any of us a few years ago. But as we recognized our need and the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ, we simply believed. And it is God that has done all the work. It is Christ that does the change. We don't have to clean ourselves up to come to God. No, God comes to us. And he's the one that does the change in us as we simply believe in him, turning away from anything else and trusting in Christ and Christ alone. And so we're going to hear two more testimonies in just a moment as they follow the Lord in believers' baptism. So I'm going to dismiss those that are getting baptized at this time and then call Pastor Jerry to come and he'll lead us in a few hymns before we close our service with the baptism.
Let's sing the gospel song, Redeemed How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb.
Redeemed how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent, his love is a theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, child and forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is a stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Lord, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His grace, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Well, first we have Clara Treader. Clara, is it your, are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Would you tell us about that?
Good evening. My name is Clara Treader. I have Christian parents who carefully taught me about God. We often read books together, and some of them have helpful Christian teachings in them. Some of my favorites are by Lois Wolfert Johnson. They helped me learn to trust God more and are also extremely exciting. I also have Christian grandparents. One day when I was about 5, my mother and I were in the basement. She had to go upstairs and told me not to touch the rocking horse. While she was upstairs, I played with the rocking horse anyways, even though I knew I shouldn't. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." When she returned, she asked me if I had touched the rocking horse, and I said no, even though I had. Somehow she knew I had lied and told me I needed God's forgiveness because I was a sinner. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." My mother asked me if I wanted God to forgive me, and I said yes. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I know I asked God to forgive my sins and to come live in my heart. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I didn't really notice any change at the time, but over the years, I've seen how I no longer want to sin but want to serve God. As I got older, however, I began to wonder if I had really become a Christian because I couldn't remember much of what happened and I wondered if I had really meant it. One day, my mother, siblings, and I were reading a book. It was called What Every Christian Ought to Know by Adrian Rogers. In the book, we read that even if
You don't remember what you said all those years ago. Ask yourself, am I trusting in Jesus to save me today? If the answer is yes, you're a Christian. Bible quizzing, which is where you memorize verses and then attend regular competitions based on the book you are memorizing, has also really helped me with my Christian growth. This year we are studying Matthew. Last November, as I was memorizing, I read Matthew 10:32, which says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven." As I read the verse, I believed that God wanted me to get baptized.
And Clara, is it your desire to live for Christ the rest of your life?
Yes.
On your profession of faith, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's have a word of prayer for Clara. Our Father, we're thankful for this testimony of faith that we heard. We know it is a miracle when any sinner turns from sin and trusts in Jesus Christ. And so we rejoice in what you have done in Clara's life. We thank you for godly parents who are faithfully teaching the good news of Jesus Christ in their homes. We thank you for the other influences in Clara's life, for the Bible quizzing, for grandparents who are also living your truth and teaching it to her. Father, we thank you for what you've done, and so we pray that you would continue the good work that you began in her life, that she would continue to serve you, that you would continue to teach her how she can live for you in a greater way, that she would serve you in her home and in other places, and that you would use her for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. And next we have Liz Smith. So Liz, are you trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Tell us about that.
I am thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for my sins, and that he arose from the tomb on the third day, that he lives and has given me eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 states that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And that is definitely true for me. I want to be baptized tonight in obedience to my Savior. Here's a poem prayer that I wrote as a testimony to the change that Christ has made in my life. What would it be like if we all knew how valuable we are to you? You say, "He who says to the wicked, 'You are righteous,' peoples will curse him. Nations will denounce him. Oh, my wicked ways caused my own decay when I was gay. And because you say it's an abomination, I let go of what was and watch you take control, for it is only you I want to know. I hated my mother who abandoned me to foster care, but you had given me another who loved me and helped me grow into you as the father I know. For you say, 'Honor thy father and thy mother, and love your neighbor as yourself.' I answer, 'Thank you, Father, O merciful and forgiving, that I am forgiven, and so shall I forgive, and be fruitful in making amends, approaching life with love instead of guilt and sin. You took my anger and raked me from within, piecing me back together in the image I was born to inherit. The one you created perfectly fitting, there is no mistaking what you have made. In your likeness is where I want to stay. You have brought me from the dust and cold, where alcohol and drugs took hold. You embellished me with your beauty when I felt tattered and old, undeserving in my own prison. You rescued me never to forsake nor condemn me for the efforts I sowed, truth be told. You have taken my self-inflicted stones so I can live each day, knowing in my heart is where you dwell. So I keep you because you love me so. You are the truth and the only way, the beginning and the end. Thy will is my gold, my king, my lord, my father and friend. Thank you for not changing me when I thought I should have been a boy, but for helping me love myself as you so clearly love me, never leaving me astray. So you say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Therefore, in doing so, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed and progressively changed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen.
And Liz, it is your desire to live for Christ the rest of your life?
Yes, it is.
Based on your profession of faith, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray for Liz. Our Father, we are grateful to hear how you have transformed a life. We know that from the beginning, even as we're in the womb, you know us through and through. We know because of the fall that we are in desperate need of change, of salvation. We're thankful for what you have done in Liz's life, how you have, through the years, used various influences in her life, how you have brought her to the end of herself and to see that her only hope is in Christ. And so we give you all the glory and honor for what you have done. We thank you for the hunger that you've given Liz for your word. And we pray that that would continue on, that as she continues to see your truth, that she would embrace it and live it. And we pray that you would use her as a testimony to others, that they would see her good works and glorify her Father who is in heaven. And Father, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have as a church family to rally around these believers, that we have a very important responsibility to teach them to observe all that you have commanded, that we would encourage, that we would equip, that we would comfort, that we would befriend, that we would walk together being an example, but also learning as well. So we thank you for bringing Liz to our church family, that we can learn from her as she continues to learn from us, and as together we all learn more about Christ as we look into your word. We thank you for the promise that you who began a good work will continue to perform it. And we look forward to seeing how you will use Liz in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
So it's an exciting time to hear these testimonies. But remember the Great Commission of Matthew 28, that we're to go into all the world to preach the gospel, that we are to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then we're done, right? Is that where it ends? No, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so we all have a responsibility. That's why I tell people every once in a while, I have someone say, hey, can I just get baptized? I hear you have a baptistry. Can I just get baptized sometime? And I say, well, it's a responsibility. When we do a baptism, our whole church is responsible for you. And so it's not just something we do, it's something that we do together because of the responsibilities we have. And what a privilege we have. And of course, Jesus makes a promise at the end. He says, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we have God's presence to help us. Let's close our evening by just singing Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Have a good night.